This is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
Lenny.
Yep.
It's Mark Snyder at PNB Network. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good.
We're doing a one, right?
Yeah. You got a minute now?
I sure do.
All right.
I just got out of the shower. I was getting ready for you.
Well, you just got out of the shower getting ready for me, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my. It's already deteriorated. Look at that.
That's right. Look where we are now.
You know, just because you've been on a couple of times doesn't mean we're really good pals yet. You can come out of the shower like that.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, things are going real well here.
Yep.
Yeah, we got the Entertainment Minute we're doing, and it's on 95 stations in 38 states.
Man, that's fantastic.
And you're a subject of it this week.
You got it, pal.
Hey. Let's talk a little bit about your past, and then we'll talk about the present, okay?
Okay. Are we live now?
We are.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I was astounded to find out that you began as a politician.
Well, here's what happened. I was working as a... Honey, I'm doing a radio interview in 38 states. So put some clothes on. No, it's radio. You don't have to get dressed. I was working as a janitor in City Hall in Cambridge. And one day I was hanging around cracking jokes, and someone said, well, you're funny. You should run for mayor. And I took it serious. And had I been drinking a little bit more, I probably would have won. There were 36 people running for city council, and 9 of the top 36... I like the mayor, so I figured if I could fool the whole city, I could fool 8 other people. I actually came in 16th. That was 7 out of the running. And I was just started doing stand-up, and I had to make a decision. Continue to chase politics or make a lot of money doing stand-up. And I said, you know what? They don't want me. I'll go make money.
You know, I understand that one of the people you ran against is a comedian as well, a guy named Joe Kennedy.
Oh, God. You know, well, here's the whole thing. See, Tip O'Neill, who I just thought was the greatest politician ever to come out of this neck of the woods, he was a great man who helped a lot of people. And, you know, that's what I really wanted to do. I mean, I wanted to help the elderly, and I wanted to help the homeless, and we're talking 23 years ago. So I think I had my finger on the pulse. And I really, really was serious about it. I wanted to... I enjoy helping people, and you know, I'm not one of these guys, look, the last one and pull up the ladder. I mean, let's reach out and help each other out, make the world a better place. I know it sounds kind of corny, but that's how I really felt. So when Tip O'Neill decided he wasn't running, I said, man, I can take this. I can win this seat. If I can win Cambridge and Somerville, I could take this election. And I announced I was going to run, and I was the dark horse candidate, and the press got behind me, and I'd go to these debates, and I would just, you know, pretty much crap on all the other people, and I'd have everyone laughing, and I went around giving out clock bars. I am Lenny Clark, he's a clock bar, remember me, vote for me for Congress. And then Joe Kennedy moved up to the neighborhood, bought a house in Brighton, and you all know this, you can't beat a Kennedy in Massachusetts. I mean, you can do whatever you want if you're a Kennedy, but I couldn't beat him. So I backed out, and I went, and then I got discovered, and I got my own TV show on CBS. But look at where I am now. I'm doing a radio with you, Mark, and where is he?
That's true.
There you go.
You know, it's interesting, though. You mentioned the radio show, the TV show you did, Lenny.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a kind of a cool show, but it really didn't have much of a chance, did it?
Well, let me tell you, you are absolutely right. We had no chance at all. First of all, we had a show with an unknown star, which is me. I'd been doing comedy for 16 years, but no one had known who I was at the time. And the president of CBS saw me and said, this is the guy we want. And it was like an overnight success in the sense that no one knew who I was. But we had the highest ratings that CBS had since All in the Family. And I was considered to be the Jackie Gleason of the 90s. And I had higher ratings than Seinfeld, if people look back and remember that. And then came the baseball playoffs, and then came the World Series, and then that knocked us back a little, but I picked up the pace. Then they took me off Monday nights and put me up against Unsolved Mysteries and Wonder Years, and I was still in the 30s in the ratings. And then came the war. The Gulf War killed Lenny Clark.
That's right.
Cost me everything I had. Homes, houses, cars, wives. I mean, I went from nothing to everything and then right back to nothing. It was a real rough time in my life.
But, Lenny, those are the times we find out who our real friends are.
Yeah, boy, are you ever telling the truth. You know what, Mark? I was living in a $2 million home on the ocean in Los Angeles, and I had 3 phones, and they were ringing off the hook. Lenny, can you do this? Lenny, can you do that? Lenny will pay you $30,000. Lenny will give you $25,000. Lenny will give you $50,000. All these offers of money coming in just to go and, like, open up Jiffy Lubes and stuff. I mean, it was ridiculous. And the minute I got canceled, all three phones went dead.
Yep.
It was the one of the saddest times in my life. I really learned a lot about me, and I really learned that I'm really lucky to have the family and close friends that I do have, because they stuck by me, and they felt the pain with me. Because, I mean, that was the biggest thing. It wasn't the money, because I came from a poor family. I never had money, you know, and to have money is great, man, but to be able to do something nice for people with it is even better, because you could have all the money in the world, and if you're alone, man, you're a miserable person, you know?
Mm.
I was a happy-go-lucky guy, and I was thrilled, and I realized how rich I am as far as having the love of my family and friends, and, you know, I think I can pop again, because I think we're really close with this new show on ABC with Dennis Leary. And if it does happen, I'm taking care of everybody that stood by me. And those who didn't, I'm just going to, you know, I'll drive by the house and go, do you like the new wheels?
Are you still living in L.A.?
No, I married a beautiful woman. Matter of fact, she's really wealthy, too. So I moved to Martha's Vineyard.
Ah.
Yeah, we bought a big house in the vineyard. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting on the deck right now overlooking the ocean.
Aren't you lucky?
And you know what? I am lucky. And I feel blessed, too, because as bad as things got, I really even enjoy this even more so. I enjoy every minute of every day now, because you know, fame is fleeting, and you know, phony friends and the money and everything else. When you break it all down, I'm a lucky son of a gun.
You're right. You know, I lived in L.A. for a while myself, and the people judge you there by, you know, who you're connected with. I was working for NBC at the time as a writer, and that's who you are. You're NBC guy, and it's until they get rid of you, and then you're nobody guy until someone else grabs you. It's just amazing the way people treat you out there.
It really is, and you know what's funny? When you go into some of these meetings, these pitch meetings, and you're talking to 22-year-old kids. I mean, you know, I've got pants older than these kids. And these guys are, you know, well, they're judging the rest of your life. And, I mean, I remember I auditioned for The X-Files. You know, it was one of my favorite shows. I don't watch it anymore now. But when they said, you can go on it, but you got to audition. I said, I'm happy with that. And when I auditioned in front of these two young kids, and I said, you know what, I don't even respect you enough to ask me to leave the room. Go get your parents and have them throw me out. They were shocked. You know, so needless to say, I didn't get the part, but I think I made a statement.
You know, you actually were part of a very successful show in the John Larroquette Show.
I got to tell you, I was blessed. Boy, that show, first of all, John Larroquette is one of the most talented men that I've ever seen work. He is just phenomenal. And the rest of the cast that he assembled, every single one of them, man for man, woman for woman, were the most talented people. I sincerely felt that I was the weakest link in the cast, but maybe I was the funniest, and that's why I got away with things. But they were brilliant actors. And, you know, I don't kid myself, and people who know me know what I'm all about. I'm glad to be working, you know, and I've had a real good run of luck as far as shows as an actor. I've worked, since I started acting, I've worked almost all the time. And I do the best I can, and I work really hard at it. And that means, you know, memorizing lines and knowing when I'm going to stand and what to do and taking direction from directors. And, you know, even if I feel the director has got the wrong take on it, rather than fight him, I go along with it because that's his job, and I try to make it as easy for everyone to work with it, as pleasant as it can be. Because sometimes, even though the locations are great and the money's wonderful, you can work with people that have attitudes for no other reason other than just to make other people miserable. And I try not to play that game. I feel lucky to be able to work, and I feel honored, and I'm just excited as hell when I get on a set. And I want to do the best I can for the sake of the show. You know, it's not me. I don't have to be Elvis. I'd be very comfortable being a successful Walter Brennan type.
Hmm. You know, when you were playing Officer Hampton, did you get a lot of fans in the police department?
I tell you what, I get pulled over. I drive a little fast sometimes, I'll be honest. But, you know, you don't drink and drive, so I gave up drinking. And I drive like a lunatic now. And I get pulled over occasionally, and I usually have my 8x10 copper shot of me as a cop, and they go, who's that? Are you that guy? And I go, yeah. I've been let go several times. But yeah, I did make a lot of fans from the police fellowship, and a lot of them said, boy, years ago, you know, 20 years ago, you were just like the cops on TV. You were just like the cops in real life. Now you wouldn't last a day, and I'm well aware of that. And I know the cops have a tough job, but you don't have to lose your sense of humor just because you're a cop.
Talking about sense of humor, you also hosted a show I used to watch all the time on Fox, the Sunday Comics.
Could you believe that? Listen, let me tell you what we did with that show, and I'm glad you brought it up because no one really ever brings that up. I had lost money. I'd just gone through a divorce. I lost my mansion. I lost a wife. I lost a car. I lost everything. And Fox came to me and asked me if I'd do a show hosting for the welcoming back to troops from the Gulf War. And I figured, hey, these guys, I wanted to go over to Bahrain when they were there, but CBS wouldn't let me. And some other people involved in my life at the time thought it was too dangerous for me to go to the Gulf War. So when they came home, and I jumped at it. I did a show that night that was hosted by a guy who wouldn't even shake my hand. And before the end of the show, the producers came and said, would you like to take his place? We're going to fire him. And I said, you know what? If he'd shook my hand, no. But this guy didn't even have the common courtesy to be a phony friend. I took his job, doubled his salary, and I took it from the ratings, from 93 in the ratings to 53. And Eric Clapton made his first comeback after his son had passed away, unfortunately. His first television appearance was on my show. I had a great band leader in Nathan East, who's Clapton's bass player. And we had the most fun at that show you could ever imagine. And there's a fellow by the name of Sandy Grushaw. And he was at Fox, and he took me around. And he loved what I was doing. And he wanted to put me on The Simpsons, and he wanted to put me in Married with Children. I said, hey, that's great. He was my best friend. And then when the show got canceled, when I got fired, that guy would never return my phone calls. I just read something about him being fired. So
see, it all comes around.
Grand.
It all comes around, Lenny.
It sure does.
You know, you mentioned the comic that got fired. What was his name?
Jeff Altman.
Hey, I remember him.
I have no trouble saying that because, you know, the guy was like real mean to everybody, but he was especially mean to me. And I'm going, hey, wait, buddy, I'm just here to do your show and entertain the troops. You know, I mean, I wasn't looking for a job, and then they made me the offer, and I had just been canceled on my Lenny show. And I had a house that I had a mansion. I say that, and I don't say it to be like a bragger because I'm a kid from the housing projects. But I had a $2 million house with a mortgage of $19,874 a month. So you folks out there listening, you come up a couple hundred bucks short, think how I felt. $19,874 a month. I out of my mind. And I got it on a negative amortization loan.
Oh, my.
If anyone ever says that to you in the bank, run. Don't walk, run. It turned out after I paid that for 16 months, I owed more money than when I went in. Oh, did they see me coming? I made a lot of mistakes. I had a lot of bad advice. I was taken advantage of by a lot of shady, shifty people that cost me millions of dollars. And I had both the greatest time of my life and the worst time of my life. And I can honestly say to you right now, after digging out and paying bills for the last 6 or 7 years and things are starting to turn around, I'm happier now than I've ever been. I'm real happy. I'm a little overweight. Believe me, I wish I wasn't fat, you know, man. I'm one of the biggest guys on TV. Rosie O'Donnell's probably the only person bigger than me, but what are you going to do? I keep trying, and sooner or later I'll get a cold or something, lose some weight, and maybe that'll be the initiative I need to keep going.
Well, you mentioned earlier when we first started talking about trying to help people as a politician, and out of all the people that I've seen on TV, you are one of the most active people in helping charities. I mean, every time I pick up the paper, you were doing something for a charity.
You know what I did, Mark? I've overextended myself. This is June 20th, I've done 13 golf tournaments this month, and I got to tell you, I don't have a passion for golf. I'm horrible, and I get worse every time, and I embarrass myself sometimes, but when someone comes to me and asks me to do something for kids, how can I say no? You know, I mean, I feel I've been blessed, and I've been given so much. I did a charity event 2 weeks ago for some New Hampshire firefighters who took their time and money and started a camp for children who've been burned in fires. And I have never, ever in my life worked for a more appreciative crowd. It moved me, man. The guy wrote me a beautiful letter, and there's a couple letters misspelled and everything. It reminded me of me, you know, because I'm not the greatest letter writer. But this letter moved me so much, and we talked, and we never even met each other. And I showed up, and I brought a couple other guys with me, and it was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. It was a National Hampshire. And I got to tell you, boy, I'm going to go back again because these guys were just so terrific to us. And I can't say no to somebody that needs help if I'm in a position to help you. Now, I also tell them up front, don't expect me to play any great golf. And if you really want to make me happy, have a couple extra sleeves of balls lying around because I don't really wear. I'm a fast golfer, not a good one. But I've always been that way. I've always felt that if you're in a position to help somebody else out and someone takes the time to ask you for it, you have no right to say no. If you have the time and you have the ability to help someone out, what the hell is life all about if you can't help somebody else out?
Well, there are many people who are big stars, quote unquote, who have lost touch with what reality is and what people are, and sometimes it takes them to get knocked down before they realize, you know, where the priority should lie, including with their own families.
Yeah. Well, my family, I tell you what, my mother called me the other day and said, "Wow, you're in the paper 3 times this week. I saw your picture." I said, "How do I look?" She says, "You look fat." I said, "Well, thanks a lot, Ma." She said, "You got to wear different clothes if you're going to be that big." So, I mean, I'm trying. Believe me, I'm trying. I did that Atkins thing. I think I almost gave myself a heart attack.
Mm.
So I'm just taking it slow. And I'm gonna concentrate on. I've got about 3 more golf tournaments this month. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, I do a benefit for the Dana Farber Cancer Institute. Thursday night, I do a show for the Lazarus House, which is homeless people up in Lawrence, Mass. Friday and Saturday, I do 2 shows each at Giggles, so I don't end up homeless. And then Sunday night, I do a show for the Reaching Back Foundation.
At the Fairmont Copley Hotel.
Right, which is started by Macy Russell. He's an outstanding Afro-American member of the community who has just done so much to help kids. And, you know, I say Afro-American because that's a lot of what is in the brochures that they put out. But when it comes to children, this guy is colorblind. He loves all kids. And he is such a nice... I'm glad to call him my friend, and I'm thrilled to be working with him. We also have Frank Stallone, Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, Eddie Money, the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and a lot of other great celebrities who have lent their name to help back with this foundation. And it goes directly to the kids, you know, kids whose parents may have left them. And, you know, to be able to... If I can affect someone's life in a great way... You know, maybe that's what I was put here for. You know, I mean, I'm happy to help.
And for those who are listening on the Boston stations, some of the money from this event are going to go to, like, the Brockton Boys and Girls Club, the City Year Fund, Kiev Science Camp for Girls in Maine, and the United Negro College Fund in Boston. So
yeah,
it's a really good charity event. Are you going to play golf on the 26th?
You know what? I'm playing golf. Yes, I am.
At the Wollaston Golf Club?
The Wollaston Golf Club. And people, if you want to see some of the great NBA stars, I know George Gervin's going to be there. Maurice Lucas usually shows up. I mean, it's a real treat, and these guys are so nice. They're not just to the kids, but, you know, I'm like a little kid around these big athletes and celebrities. I get a kick out of meeting famous people, and it's, you know, it's a ball.
Well, I think that a lot of folks listening will probably be there. And you were mentioning a series with Dennis Leary.
Oh,
What's going on with that?
I'm really thrilled with that. We just got a show with DreamWorks that's going to be on in February on ABC. Let's hope it's on after Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And Dennis Leary's a star, and he's been nice enough to ask me to work with him, and we worked together in the past. But he's a great, great guy in the show, I must tell you. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen, let alone be involved with. He is just great, and the network's really behind it. And as I say, it'll come on in February. Tonight, I have to leave now. I have to cut a short today, Mark, because I'm getting in a truck to drive down to the ferry to catch a limo to go to the opening of the new Jim Carrey movie, which I'm in, me, myself, and Irene.
Cool.
I'm really excited about it, and a lot of members of my family are coming, and my wife, and it's a really neat feeling. And then I start shooting in 3 weeks on a new movie with Danny DeVito and Martin Lawrence called What's the Worst That Can Happen for... I forget the studio. Well, it doesn't matter.
No, that sounds like you're busy, though. You're keeping busy, and life is good again, and that's great.
I thank God every day. I'm glad to be alive, and I owe a lot of thanks. And I can't thank you enough because you've been great to me in the past, and you always are. And we'll look up together one of these days when both of us have a day off.
That'll be cool.
Thank you for everything.
Hey, you too.
Okay.
And good luck, and hope things continue on a good upswing for you.
You call me anytime. Nice talking with you.
Take care, Lenny.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.